Blog Talk Radio.
Peace. Peace and love, family. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in for another live edition of 2020. Have another great show lined up for you tonight, family. This is a good one, family. Before we get started, let's introduce ourselves. My name is Divine Queen, and I'm here with my handsome and light. Chris, say what's good to the fam.
I'm known as the smooth one. What's good, family? It's your boy Chris Light coming through with some more spiritual biddles.
All right. So for our first time callers, I see a lot of people that we don't recognize calling on the line. Welcome. We're glad to have you. This is Twin Flame Radio, and tonight, fam, we are going in on the mini arts of divination.
Ooh, it's a good one for the October month.
Yeah. And for all those supernatural cult loving witches out there.
Oh yeah. I'm down with the witches. Pull your W's up. Not witch, but witch.
You're so goofy. So this is going to be a great show because, especially for me, you know, the name of my queen, I love divination arts. I love the art of reading and predicting and recognizing signs and things like that.
I must say you look nice in your little brown cloak you have on.
I do. I have my witchy cloak on tonight.
I like that.
Thank you. That's a little cool. So I have to throw something on.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to go in. We're going to discuss all of the different divination arts. Not all of them, because there's a lot of them out there. So we're going to talk about the most popular ones. If we have time, we'll go in later on, you know, all the different ones that people probably aren't that familiar with.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And we're going to talk about how to find the right divination art. We get asked a lot in our consultations, like, how do you guys know, you know, what you're doing and how did you get drawn to it? How did you know that this is what you wanted to do and what arts did you start out with? And we're going to go in on, you know, finding out what's right for you. And then also we're going to give you some guides on how to use different divination arts.
Real good.
But before we go in on the show, we're going to do like we do on every show, and let's talk about what we want to talk about because we can do it because we pay the bills.
Facts.
So,
I'll talk about this weekend?
What do we do this weekend?
Well, this weekend, my cousin had a home going. You know, he transitioned over to the other side where they're all winning. So I wanted to give a shout-out to my cousin, Lionel Chambers. He was a cool guy, family man, hard-working young man, and he went home too soon. But, you know, we partied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking. We partied. We kicked it. It was one of the, it sounded like an oxymoron, but one of the best funerals I ever attended.
Wow.
Yeah, it was live. I mean, they had somebody rocking at the funeral.
I've never heard of that.
I didn't either, but I loved it. I was in there. I had never bought my head at a funeral before.
Well, you know what? That's how the home
should be. I want to go out like that.
And those of us who are on this spiritual journey recognize that when you transition over, there is no true death.
Right.
It is what it is. Transitioning. You're transitioning from one life form into the next. And so we recognize that as not a sad event, but more of a joyous occasion, because you're no longer in this environment of suffering.
Well, the most impactful and my fondest moment of the funeral was a few weeks ago. He transitioned already. 10 minutes.
Wow.
And when he came back, you know, he had realized that there's a creator out there. He had memories of seeing different lives,
wow,
going through portals and things like that. You know what I mean? So that made his transition much easier, because he came back with knowing versus a believing what was going to happen. He had already.
Wow. That's,
I thought that was pretty impactful and deep.
That is.
Yeah. A lot more he talked about that they shared, but that's another story.
Yeah. Well, peace and blessings be upon him.
Oh, we just kicked it.
Yeah. What did we do? We did something with our daughter. We went out to lunch.
Yeah, we went out. What did we go to eat? What the heck did we do with her? What did we do with her? Man, that's crazy.
Oh, we had wild ginger.
We had wild ginger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was for your birthday, because your birthday was a so happy birthday.
Yeah, it's my birthday that God turned to me. Yeah. You know, and I'm no longer talking about I'm getting old. I'm ageless.
That's right.
I was born in 1975, but that's all that matters.
Dude.
Because I realized that this world is an illusion. Mm-hmm. And if you perceive and tell the world you're getting older, you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting seasoned. Mm-hmm. I'm looking better. I looked in the mirror. I said, ooh, I want to touch myself.
I saw you touching yourself.
Are you doing? Face I was touching.
Mm-hmm.
You go, girl.
Yeah, so we had a good time. We did some things for your birthday. We
mm-hmm.
kicked it with the fam.
Mm-hmm.
When I say the fam, I mean us and our daughter.
Yeah.
And what are we doing? Tomorrow we're taking my mother out for breakfast.
Yeah, she hasn't been out with us in a long time.
Yeah.
So it's time for us to get her out of the house and do some good eating.
Yeah. We're going to take her out for a delicious breakfast.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about before we go in on the show?
I want to talk about divination.
Right.
We got people on this line. Let's get the divination and jewels.
All right. So, divination, the act of divining, is, you know, when you're seeing a lot of people have, I'm tripping on this, a lot of people go through divination and they and realize they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, especially when you're young, you see visions. They have just a sense of knowing things.
Mm-hmm.
That was always one of my favorite things. I don't know how I know it. It's just something I know. It's just some information just pop in my head. And I know I would tell you certain things, and you'd be like, how did you know we were supposed to do that? And
mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know. We just,
mm-hmm.
let's do it. And, you know, so there's always, you know, the way that we all have the gift of using these divination arts. However, a lot of us don't, because we just don't really recognize that we can do it, or a lot of people are scared of it.
You know, I define divination as any practice or occult act where you foretelling the future.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you do to foretell the future, you know, you have a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get it in dreams.
Mm-hmm.
There's many different forms of divination. And like Divine said earlier, we're all born with all these divination arts already within us, but depending on how much you work with it. And it's kind of like lifting weights. We're just stronger than others in different areas.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. may like bench press, and I might lift legs.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what divination art you love or you're more attuned to, that would be the one that I would suggest you do.
And let's say you have a fondness for something that maybe you're not, you don't believe that you're that great in.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is a little practice.
That's it.
Daily practice, just a few minutes a day, 15, 20, 30 minutes a day, just to get it in, and you will be surprised at how much, you know, you will start to grow with it.
I use my martial arts as a precursor to all my spiritual practices. When I was young, I had an issue using my left hand. I was right-handed, so I always beat everybody down with this right hand. And my master, Dr. Otto, told me, well, what if you hurt your right hand? What are you going to do, just don't run away? So he made me tie my right hand behind my back for 3 months in class, and I developed my left hand to where it's just as good as my right hand now. And that's, you should apply the same methodology to your divination practice.
Mm-hmm.
That what you do most of, that what you do best.
Facts.
So if you're doing something and you're not as good in it, forget everything else. Focus on that one divination art until you master it, then move on.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we get introduced to divination arts and we don't even realize what it is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people, especially women, will pick up a magazine and they look in the back and they read the horoscope.
Mm-hmm.
That's a form of divination. Accurate. Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm not a big fan of horoscopes, but it is a form of, you know, foretelling the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people don't realize they are participating in a divination act. You know, they look at it as more as entertainment.
Mm-hmm. The word horoscope sounds crazy.
Yeah.
It gives you this conscious feeling of being afraid of what you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So well, I never really was fond of horoscopes.
I never thought about that. You know that in the old ancient times, back in the pagan days, that divination was looked at as, it was looked at as something that was respected. It was something that people, you know, the sages were respected. People would go to the sages and the magi, and they would pay respect to them, and they would ask them different questions, ask them to tell their futures, or, you know, help them with different remedies or whatnot. And religion and Christianity grew into fruitation, they stripped that form of art away and turned it into
blasphemy.
Yeah. Well, you know, what a lot of people don't know is that divination is all through the Bible. It's all throughout religious, you know,
that's
different
real.
Religious forms, and especially Christianity.
It's even as maxed. You know, the people that have the power will never give without the power to take their power away. That was powerful.
That was
powerful, but that's real.
It's real.
So if you have a tool or a divination practice that can relieve your suffering or get you wherever you're into,
mm-hmm.
they're going to take that away from you. That's why it was removed from all the religious texts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when?
You know, when I was a little girl, I was introduced into divination by my mom because she had all these different books, and I was a big reader when I was a little kid. So I loved to read, and I would go through all her different books. She had a mixture of divination books, horror books. She had a lot of Stephen King books.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, you went back and forth and read each one. And I remember reading this astrology book that she had, and it was this big, huge book, and it broke everything down. It had the houses in there, it had the planets, it had the rising sign, it had everything in it. And I remember I asked her to do my chart. I was like, what's my sign? What's my rising sign? What's my moon sign? What does it mean about me? And she did it for me, and she was telling me about myself, and I was just so fascinated by it because it was true. Even the things that I had kind of kept hidden that no one else really knew about, it was laid out for me in the chart, and it was true. I couldn't deny it.
Hmm.
And another thing that that turned out to early age was palmistry.
Hmm.
And I was fascinated by palmistry because it's the lines within your hands. It's like, how do you, you know, read the lines in your hands? And as I studied the art of palmistry and, you know, learned to read the hands and learned about the different mounts and the locations and stuff like that, again, I was fascinated that, you know, how accurate everything was.
You know, I wasn't really into palmistry as far as telling the future and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up in the hood, I had to know who my enemies were.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at a man's hand tell if they've been into a bunch of fights. Mm-hmm. So when someone was talking junk to me, I would look at their hands, and depending on how soft their hands look, my confidence went up. But if I seen them with black knuckles and they was rough looking hands, I said, this dude looks like he has I may want to take this battle another day. His face is not really visually stimulating either. It looks like he's been through some things. Maybe this isn't the battle I want to fight, because I was a handsome young man. You know, I want to be, you know, known for being a tough dude, but, you know, I handled myself when need be, but I had no problem picking my battles. That's one of the... But that's what I was into. I would shake hands, and I didn't feel any calluses. Mm-hmm. I knew that this guy wasn't a tough guy. He was a more of a secretary type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all good. But, you know, I could always, it's not really a form of divination, but I was getting a sign.
But it is a form of divination, because along with palmistry, it's not just all about lines. It's about the shape of the hands. Mm-hmm. It's about the shape of the fingers.
Coarseness.
It's about the coarseness of the hands. It's about, you know, the knuckles and the, you know, it's everything. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's really a really deep art that a lot of people aren't really too, you know,
mm-hmm.
keen on it. They're not really, they don't know a whole lot about it. Everyone knows, you know, what's my lifeline and what's my heartline, but, you know, but you don't really know about, well, what about all these little intricate lines that are within the lifeline? What about mm-hmm. these swirlies? What about the crosses? What about, you know, so all of that stuff means things.
And they change along with the planets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Winning.
So, you know, palmistry is a really good art that you can use on someone, and not even, you know, the other person may not even know you're reading them.
Yeah.
You know, I do it a lot. I read people's hands, and, you know, and I can kind of tell the shape of their fingers or their nails and, you know, what type of personality they may be. Another one, and I can't think of it, the name of it slipped my mind, but there's a way where you can read facials.
Mm-hmm.
You can read a person's face. You can tell by, you know, the lines in their face or the shape of their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So that nature is the same as palmistry, but it's just in the face instead.
When I learned about the frontal lobe, the prefrontal lobe, and the different cortexes with the mind,
mm-hmm.
I realized that I used to read people's eyes. That's why I always look at people in their eyes when I talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell if they're listening. I can tell if they're lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a person is lying to me, they're going to look up the left, because that's the imagination part of their brain.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look up there real quick, and then they're going to look at you and give you their answer.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're telling the truth, they usually look dead at you or up to the right, because they're pulling something from memory.
Mm.
So those are some of the tips that I always use on my daughter. I said, she's lying to me. She's a good liar. Oh, she's a good one. Okay, we can work with that. As long as you lie to me in a good way and I know you're lying, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Because one thing about liars, you don't want to let a liar know you know they're lying, because they'll get better at it.
Exactly.
So sometimes you got to just take a lie and know who you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got a man or a girl at home, the way you've been, they look up to the left like, what happened was,
they lying. Mama, why they always lying, Mama? Stop doing that baby voice. Every episode, you do the baby voice.
Mama, she did that again, Mama.
All right, so I would say, just to go back a little bit, astrology is probably one of the most popular divination arts.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is fascinated by astrology. They want to know how, you know, the planets line up for them. I used to be really big in astrology a long time ago. Not so much right now, but I do respect the art, because it is very depth and detailed art.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that it breaks down everything about you, not just about you, but about relationships that you have, your job, your friends, your parents, your children. It's such a deep, detailed art that it's something that you can't put in a bag of a magazine to find out what's going to really happen for you.
You know, a lot of people are intimidated by astrology, because it's so daunting and vast.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would suggest to people who aren't accustomed to astrology, or just think about, is this something I can learn? Do what I've done. Do what my wife's done. Well, look at yourself. Find out what your chart is. Now go to the extreme. Go and look up a bunch of five wealthy people that you know. Look at their chart. Now go to the extreme. Five psychopaths. look at their charts and compare the commonalities in them. You can kind of gauge, okay, when the planets are aligned like this or in this house, more likely this person's crazy. But the planets are aligned like this, like these other five people, okay, they have something in common here. They may be wealthy. You can kind of gauge who you are.
Mm.
That's one thing I would suggest you guys do. But first, I always ask you to master yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever you master yourself, you become the master of your universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real. You don't want to manipulate reality for everyone else. You want to manipulate reality for yourself. So don't worry about trying to master everyone else's chart. Master your chart first.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, looking at the extremes is a great way for you. It'll give you some work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a call to action.
That's
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of our favorite forms of divination. No.
Oh, my bad. That's my favorite.
No, it's numerology.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So we're both certified numerologists,
mm-hmm.
and we are lovers of numbers.
Lovers of numbers.
And so with numerology, it's such a fascinating art because you take your full name, full birth name, even if there were mistakes or misspellings or just a wrong name put on your birth certificate, in my case, and you want to take your date of birth, and you pretty much you break this information down to single digits. Sometimes you can do double digits. That's the master numbers. But for the most part, you want to break it down to single digits. And within those single digits, you can learn everything about yourself. Again, like astrology, you can learn about yourself. You can learn about relationships with others. You can learn about your future, the kind of jobs that you have, what gifts you're good at, your how you express yourself, things that you need that you're lacking in. It's such a fascinating tool. I know it's your favorite.
Oh, that's my favorite. There's something about taking information about myself, condensing it down to a set of numbers, then eliminating those numbers down to a finite number, and then I can get like a breakdown of who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
That's something special about that. It's like you get a pepper and you throw it on a chicken versus you blending up the pepper and seasoning your chicken. And I see it in my life and other people's lives. And one of the finest, one of the things that I really love about divination and numerology is when someone gives me their birth number, their birthday, their name, I don't know these guys. I never even met them before.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them three sheets of paper about who they are, and they call me like, wow, I'm sitting here when I know you. That feels good. Because I'm thinking like, man, I ain't doing nothing but reading numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But to them, how did he know all this?
How do you know that
how did
about
he
me?
Know this? How do you know I like to do that thing in the dark? Yeah. And that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's fun. Because there's numbers in everything. And so numerology is so vast that you can use it in, you know, you can use it in your phone number. Your phone number has a meaning. Your address has a meaning. Your social security number has a meaning. And when you start learning the art of numerology and you figure out what all these different meanings are and how they apply to you, things just start clicking. It's like, wow, you might see repetitive numbers coming up,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's always interesting as well.
Two things. I'll get back to repetitive numbers, but numbers is the universal language. Anywhere you go in the world and in our universe, 1 + 1 of something else always equals 2. It's the first universal language, and it's a great way to jump on the illusion that we're living in. Sometimes when you're walking down the street and you don't notice the signs, you won't know where to eat. But when you learn to read, oh, that's Wendy's, McDonald's. McDonald's has this. Wendy's has this. You can kind of get a deeper perception about your reality through your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things about divination. It gives you an edge on your reality. And reality turns from being kind of gray and insecure and unsure to being limitless and more prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you like more confidence in reality,
mm-hmm.
because you can tell through the numbers and signs about how your day is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll be a number one. Okay, I know what energy to bring to that number one because mm-hmm. I know, okay, she's a six. Okay, she's going to be really soft and loving. I can't give her one energy because she is shut down. You know what I mean? So when I do get my business and start hiring people, I don't want to see a resume. What's your birthday? What's your first, middle, and last name? That's what I want to know, because I don't want a bunch of sixes. But you know, I'm just joking, family. I love sixes. I don't want a bunch of ones either. It depends on what type of business I got. If I'm making perfume, I want a bunch of sixes. I don't want a bunch of ones. Yeah, I need this in my. I want to smell like this. I don't want a bunch of that. I'm just joking.
People who don't know numerology, you're like, what is he talking about?
They need to learn, though. Back to seeing different numbers.
Mm-hmm.
This is the beauty about numerology. We have what's called subspace domains within our bodies. Everyone's subspace domain is different. So if you're always seeing 444, 333, 222, your subconscious mind is trying to divulge something to you that will help you evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see these numbers, if you're always seeing these numbers and you're not seeing the number, you're not getting the message.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to get some yellow parchment paper, some red ink, or dragon's blood ink. Write the number down that you're seeing and sleep with it for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop seeing the number, you got the message on a subconscious level. You're not always going to consciously know what you need. You won't even understand what it was anyway when you got the answer.
Right.
But when you stop seeing the number, you know you got your answer and you can move on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be like, oh my God, I keep seeing 444. What does that mean? Don't worry about what it means.
Mm-hmm.
The other things that come to us in our reality, we don't know what the heck it is. It's because with our human mind and ego, we won't be able to decipher it.
Exactly.
Sometimes you just got to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Was I going on a tangent there, babe?
No, you were good.
Okay.
You were good. So I want to remind the fam that if you have any questions or if you just want to call in and say what's up, our phone number here is 619-924-0835. If you're already on the line, you can just hit number one. We'll bring you through.
Mm. Want to go into another divination?
So, let's see, another divination art.
I'll go into one.
But,
you know, one of my favorite ones that I'm really getting into is hydromancy.
Mm-hmm.
I did a video on my YouTube page, The Enlightened Journey. Go to YouTube.com and subscribe today. I did a video on hydromancy, and I talked about how you can get a bowl of water, and you can just stare in the bowl of water. You can get visions of the future and things like that. That was actually Nostradamus' favorite divination.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you can do, well, before you do get that bowl of water, you want to sit it out in the moonlight. When you sit the moon,
so it's scrying.
It's similar to scrying, but with water.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I call it hydromancy. But mm-hmm. it is a form of scrying.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different form of scrying.
Okay.
And you can go into scrying after this.
Okay.
But once you sit the water in moonlight, it soaks up the energy of the goddess of the moon. All that divine lunar energy goes into the water, and it helps the water divulge things about the future for you. Let's say you have a bowl. You live by a pond or a lake. You can go out at night in the moonlight and you see the moon shining on the water. Drop a pebble in there and just start staring at the waves. The waves represent the flow of life. And if you just stare at the waves, start saying some mantras and invoke a bunch of loving goddess energy within you, you'll start seeing signs. It won't happen the first day, but the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Mm.
Yeah. I love hydromancy. And I love the way it sounds. Hydromancy.
I gotta say that again, babe.
Hydromancy.
You know that a lot of the divination arts end with mancy.
You know why?
Why?
I don't know.
I thought you were gonna tell me. You silly. All right, well,
I think mancy is the art or love. I don't know. I'll look it up. There's a lot of mancies.
Yeah.
Mancy, hydromancy.
A lot of them end with mancy.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Yeah. We should look that up before we start the show. Yeah. So, audience, look up Mancy if I have the mention. There's a message.
All right. So, since you brought up hydromancy, and that is a form of scrying, people may not know what scrying is. Scrying is a technique where you're looking into an object to see the future.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be, like you said, a bowl of water, it can be a black mirror. It can be a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a flame. There's actually pyromancy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the flame is.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you use scrying in order to, and it's really, really, it takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of practice because you have to be really deep into a trance in order to get the message to show up. Some people can do it in, you know, it right away. That may just be your thing. Like we were saying earlier, some people just have their things that it just comes natural to them, whereas other people have to work a little harder. But for the most part with scrying, most people do. They have to, you know, really focus and get into like this meditative state where they get into a deep trance, and then they will see something come through, either through the crystal, the water, or a black mirror.
I do have some tips on scrying. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at the flame, if you look at bugged eyes like you're surprised, your eyes are going to dry out, and you're not going to really have the focus you need. You need to relax your face to the point where your eyes are almost closed, but not quite closed. It's almost like you got to tilt your head back just to see the flame and relax. Your eyes have a small slit in them where they're almost closed, but they're not open, and you're not trying to keep them closed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you can have a long stare. You're not getting much air into your eyeball, and it's not drawn out to a point where you need to blink a lot. You want to get to a zoned out state where you can just stare almost 2-3 minutes without blinking. That's when you really get the scrying in. And most of the energy comes from the scrying from your breath. When you breathe in deep through your nose,
mm-hmm.
and breathe out at least 2-3 times longer from your lower dantian or your solar plexus, breathe out strong and soft. That way you get like some deep energy going there. The more you breathe from this reality, the more you'll be stuck into this reality. So if you hold your breath, that's another way that I do my meditations. I hold my breath as long as I can. I notice that when I'm not breathing in this illusionary air, I have different visions. Mm-hmm. That's just a tip that I use. And it helps you holding your breath too if you're a blacksmith.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I like to use the black mirror.
Ooh.
And with the black mirror, I've always been fascinated with mirrors. Even as a little girl, I was fascinated. I would always try to catch my reflection doing something that I wasn't doing.
Thank you.
And, you know, it was a couple times I thought I did see, you know, my reflection actually do something that I didn't do. And so I guess that started my fascination with the mirror. Our first black mirror that we purchased was actually a psychic fair. And this lady, you know, had all these beautiful mirrors.
Beautiful.
And she also wrote a book about, you know, black mirrors crying. And so I read the book and I just fell in love with it. And, you know, one of the things that I want to let the fam know is that none of these arts are meant to be scary. So we have to get that brainwashed fear out of our mindset that, you know, these are scary arts. With anything, with anything. So if you are a dark individual and you're practicing dark arts, yeah, you're probably going to pull something dark through. But if you have the intention of not doing any harm and just, you know, trying to build up your confidence to work with these arts, then you will grow and you will pull out light messages.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I suggest with the black mirror is that what you should do when you have one is that you want to do something where you're marking it. You want to put your mark on it to put the intentions on it that it's safe. And people do this a lot with a lot of different divination arts, tarot cards, oral runes. We'll go over those later. Mm-hmm. But you want to make sure that you're doing something where you're setting the intention. And then you want to say that you're setting the intention that you're causing no harm to anyone, yourself, and that this is just a safe practice that you're doing. Mm-hmm. You want to do something where you're seeing white light around you, where you're seeing yourself in a protective bubble. So any of that, just to make you feel comfortable, to make you more secure about using these different tools, there's nothing wrong with doing that. So one of my other favorite practices.
Reading chicken bones. I'm joking, family. But that is an art.
That is an art. Yeah. I mean, that's an art, bone reading.
And not Popeye's bone.
No.
Yeah, free reign bone.
That's actually an ancient African art.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to get these bones read.
Really?
Yeah, I always wanted to learn how to do that.
I
have visions of me doing that, like being a shaman and everybody coming to me and I'm doing this little dance and I throw the bones at people, like just throw the bones on the ground and start reading them. I'd be having visions like that. I can't tell people, they think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They think you're crazy.
But I was a shaman in the past life, so
mm-hmm.
healer, warrior, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
So one of my favorite arts is the tarot cards.
Ooh.
And it was something that was introduced to me on a Humble. Our good friend, Sally Myers, had a deck of tarot cards, and he kept telling me, you know, when I first met him, he was like, "You're an oracle. You're an oracle." And I was like, you know, and he's like, "You see things. You know things." He was like, "Just not talking about it. Why are you being? Why are you keeping it in? Why are you being so secretive about it?" And I had, I've always been secretive about it. I've always kind of kept it in because I didn't want to be looked at in a different kind of way. And he kept telling me this. I was kind of doubting it, like, I don't know. And he pulled out a deck of tarot cards. It was the first time I ever played tarot cards because it was just always one of the taboo things that you're not supposed to mess with. And he pulled it out and he asked me to flip through the cards and give him a reading. And I had no idea what the cards meant, how to read them, what the symbols and the imagery and all that stuff meant. And when I flipped it over and read, he was impressed. And he was like, "I told you, Oracle." And he let me have the deck of cards. Yeah. And I fell in love with the cards.
You did.
And I practiced with them every day. You know, and in the beginning, I thought about learning, you know, the instructions of the cards. But then I found it was more fascinating to create my own rules for the cards. And that's something I would suggest that a lot of people do with all combination arts. Don't follow what is out there. Like, if someone says, you know, this means that, or this is what this is, and that's go with your intuition, go with your gut. Because your intuition is where you're actually pulling these answers and, you know, these visions from. So you want to go with intuition.
That's a jewel right there, because no matter what you're doing, what tool you're doing, when people are teaching you, they're teaching you from their level of understanding and their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Your perspective may be higher, maybe lower, may just be a little curvy, may just be a little different. So it's always good to learn things and create your own know system with things. It's okay to read the instructions to get a gauge on
what
you should or should not do. But if they say read the cards upright, try reading them upside down from the side. Lay down and read them. Find out your niche, your spiritual niche. And that way you can create your own power that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sweetie.
Things that you can do to help increase your intuition, because a lot of people will start out with these different divination arts and then they stick with the divination arts. And there's nothing wrong with using these different methods to give readings or anything like that, but you want to grow past using the tools, because that's all they are, tools. The real energy, the real messages, the real visions come from within you. These tools are just helping you build the confidence in order to bring them out. And so one of the things that I did when I was, you know, feeling like I needed to start doing more intuitive readings instead of tarot and oracle readings and numerology readings, before I would do a reading, I would flip, you know, pull cards, and I would give the reading before I would look at the cards. And afterwards, I would flip the cards over, and it would be exactly what I just told the person.
I've always thought that was wild. I love when you do that. It's like, for real, spirit? You know, I want to give the family a jewel, too.
Go ahead.
We live in a fast food, fast time for reality. Everything that we've been taught, we need to get it fast. Speed test, eating, all this stuff. When you're working with spirit and divination, it is old school.
Yeah.
And old school is slow along. It moves slow. So, it may take you anywhere between, being real, 6 months to 6 years to learn something before you get good at it. Don't go into it the first 30 days and be like, "I'm just not getting it." You're not going to get it in 30 days.
Mm-mm.
It's going to take you at least 6 months just to be comfortable with it. Back to my martial arts practice. When I first started taking Wing Chun, I was getting beat up for 6 months.
I remember.
And then one day I came home and said, "Babe, I done beat up somebody." And from that day on, I've been whipping tail. It took me 6 months to learn how to be ambidextrous with my strikes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with spiritual practices. It takes time. You have to look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that I'm going to learn this, and hold yourself accountable to it. Don't be a talker, be a doer. You don't have to tell anybody what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I really want you guys to hold yourself accountable to learning something. We all listening right now have a myriad of different divination arts that we can learn and master. Choose one and learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you learn one, you can either master that one or you can go on to something else until you find your niche.
You know, if you're like me, I was attracted to all divination arts. And I wanted to master all of them. I was like, okay, I got this, now what? Okay, got this, now what? And there's nothing wrong with that. However, there's nothing like really just diving into one and mastering it.
Mm-hmm.
What I was doing was I was learning one, and I was learning it to the point where I was comfortable with it. And then I would move on to something else. And then I would learn that until I was comfortable with it. But after a while, you know, after I ran through the ones that I liked and everything like that, it was like, okay, well, I know it and I'm good at it, but I want to master it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I went back and it was like, okay, I'm going back to this and I'm going to master this. I'm going to get this to the point where I don't have any, I'm not second guessing myself or my confidence level is just extremely high with it. And so most people, when they're attracted to divination, they won't learn it all. They're, you know, just want to dive in and not leave and look back to, you know, see when their feet gonna hit the water. They just diving in. But, and there's nothing wrong with that. Just get to the point where you're taking on so much and then you burn yourself out and you're like, okay. Well, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now what? You know, so.
There's nothing like becoming an authority on something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your fail-safe way of getting answers. Sometimes when you have too many options, you find yourself being convoluted with different options and you
mm-hmm.
don't choose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we suggest and implore you all to choose one divination, learn it, master it, then move on.
Mm-hmm.
That way, because with numerology, it encompasses about 6 or 7 different divinations.
Mm-hmm.
Alchemy, colors, tarot, astrology. Numerology encompasses all divinations because, again, numbers is the universal language. Everything is a derivative of numbers first. So that's the depth within numerology
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people really don't know. They just think 1 + 1 = 2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm a numerologist. It ain't like that.
So,
it ain't like that, family.
So, talk about some of the arts that are known but not really practiced. Much.
Okay, let's go in.
So, runes. Runes are it's similar to bones.
Yeah.
But runes are also similar to dice. So runes are like these stones,
mm-hmm.
and they have the Germanic or Norse alphabet lettering on it. And with them, you know, however it's thrown out and what's thrown out and what comes out, you're able to foretell someone's future by the information that's thrown out on these stones. Very underrated, very powerful divination art, but underrated.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I like runes because they can be used together in a grouping, or you can just use one. Like
mm-hmm.
when I go somewhere, I don't know where I'm going, and I just feel like, wow, I'm a little uneased. As soon as I walk in the door, I throw up a rune sign of protection, so I'm protected. No matter, even though I have my tools on, all my other spiritual things that I wear, I still just throw it in the air. You can rune in the air,
mm-hmm.
and it will protect you. So the divination tools are like, kind of like how Doctor Strange, how he was making shields and things
mm-hmm.
like that with his hands. They're like visual mudras.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cut into the fabric of your reality. And you're pleading with higher divine forces to give you peace and protection. That's what runes are. I love runes. And study them. They're easy. It's an alphabet. You look up one that says power. This one says peace. This one says love. Just take a week and just focus on that one. And then gradually grow. Don't worry about learning all of them within one day. Take your time. Get a connection with it. Court them. That's what you should do with your tools. I remember I bought you that Amethyst rune set. Remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for your birthday.
We got a caller. I'm going to bring the caller online. Mm-hmm. Caller from the 404-247. Peace, peace. You're on the air. What's
thank
your
you
name? Caller from?
Peace, peace, y'all. This is Makaya, and I'm calling from the Port City in North Carolina.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Makaya.
Oh, I am doing fantastically well. How about y'all?
Listen, your voice winning?
That's what's up. I'm so glad. Yes, yes. True indeed. I'm so glad that my schedule has opened up to where I can, you know, I can call in and listen, you know, and just give a shout out to you guys. The information that you're sharing this evening is awesome. I'm really enjoying it. And actually it had me thinking back to when I was first working with the tarot cards. And actually I didn't do so well with the tarot cards. I don't know why, but I just didn't do good with them. The energy just, I guess maybe I just wasn't ready for that at that moment in time. But when I started working with the oracle cards, it was a different energy, a different flow. And so those flow very well with me. And I wound up getting a non-traditional type of tarot cards. And I was working with them, and I got the same result that I would receive when I use the regular tarot cards. And I said, okay. But now what I do, you know, so I go back and I dabble with the tarot cards every now and again, you know, just to, you know, to brush up, to get that practice. I do realize for me, I have to really tap in when it comes to those tarot cards. I have to really tap in. But with the oracle cards, they come to me so easily and so naturally. But one of the things that I've been doing, one of the energetic systems that I work with, the 72 names of God, I have the energetics to that. And there are also oracle cards for that. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I integrate the cards with the energetics, because whenever you utilize the energetics, it's also on a more healing level. So what I do is I do the oracle cards and see which one resonates, and then I'll go back and I run that energy. So it's like you're getting the message, and you also getting the energetics to help amplify that message to help heal you, so you can move forth in what you're working on. So that's I fell in love with that. So I was like, I'm hooked to that.
That sounded good.
You can't go wrong with 72 names.
You can't. And that circle is so visually stimulating. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I could give you a tip on the tarot cards, what I tell people when they ask, how can I get more into tarot cards? It's just so overwhelming, or the energy don't feel right. Stop trying to do spreads or anything like that. Just every day flip over a new card and let that card be your prediction for the day.
Okay. Okay. I definitely try that. But good. Thank you. Just work with one card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Once you start doing that, you'll start, you know, like, wow, okay, so the Hierophant, and I had this person come to me and deliver this serious message or this lesson that I needed to learn. Okay, cool, deep. What's you know, and it gets to the point where you're like, well, what happened? Can't we flip a card over in the morning?
Yeah. Well, that's what's up. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you want, you got a place here. Mm-hmm. Go on to share all your information, sis. Everything you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow! Well, thank you. I am Makaya Luciana, Reiki Master Teacher. My website is Kepara's Blue Lotus, and my services are energetics. I do Reiki, healing energy, other type of energetics like chakra flush, aura flush. I have this new healing system called Sakim, Power of Powers, which is awesome. And and actually, You know, it's full moon, and so I'm running a full moon special right now, and it's dealing with the removal of implants, these etheric implants, and and so when it comes to the implants, they really do affect us. We have them and we don't even realize it. And actually, I uploaded a video yesterday about, you know, describing the implants and, you know, how they affect us. Sometimes we're born with them. We get them whenever we're having low vibe, whenever we're at our lowest point, like if we're sad, we're depressed, and they come in, they attach to us. And what they do is they hinder our evolution. They hinder our spiritual growth. And so with this implant system, and it's all energetic. It's all energetic. And what it does, it clears your four body systems. And see, because when it comes to the implants, they attach to you on your mental body and your emotional body. And let me tell you, this stuff deep. This stuff is deep. But I don't want to take up too much time. But I did do a video with all the information and try to answer, you know, questions and whatnot. But this, you know,
YouTube page.
As I continue to, you know, study and I delve deeper into my spiritual practices, man, this stuff is deep. I mean, it's on a whole nother level. It's a completely different life. And basically I'm getting to know myself all over again, because, you know, we were raised up in this society. You know, we was conditioned one particular way to think a certain way, to believe a certain way. And it's like now, you know, it's like everything that we've learned and been taught is like not necessarily the truth. And so it's put us in a position to relearn ourselves. And it's like, I mean, it's just growth upon growth upon growth upon growth. I'm just like, wow. I'm really fascinated. I'm just grateful to be where I am and doing what I'm doing. I was just thinking about, look, I'm just talking. I'm sorry.
You're good. You're good. You're family. You were just thinking about what?
Well, when I was doing my altar practices, and I was just reflecting, you know, on my life prior, you know, to this awakening. And, like, even with what I'm going through now, and I would say, you know what? I would not trade it in for the world. I said, because I have unplugged from the matrix, and I have stepped out on faith totally and completely. And it's definitely a process. You know, like you were saying earlier, Chris, when it comes to working with the spirit, it's definitely a slow process, and you have to have patience. And you it's not that microwave syndrome, you know, it's not that quick fix. And I find that a lot of people, you know, they are starting to learn about spirituality, but they still bringing over that old mentality with them. And they want that quick fix. They want that that microwave syndrome. And I was like, look, it don't even work like that. You know, if you get in the fast, quick, in a hurry type stuff, you dealing with something you don't even want to be dealing with. Trust and believe.
Facts.
Yes. So, you know, I'm grateful. And, you know, I really appreciate the works that, you know, the both of y'all are doing. I mean, I've known y'all for maybe 3-4 years now, maybe something like that. But y'all have definitely been consistent in what y'all doing. You know, y'all growing, you're blossoming, and, you know, you're definitely an inspiration. So, you know, continue to do what you're doing, and I have nothing but love for the both of y'all.
Reflect it. The heck out of you, girl.
Yeah.
Shoot, you fam.
definitely got love for you too. Fam, please check out this. We have personally been a part of one of her Reiki sessions, and it is amazing. So you definitely want to go to her website and check that out. Can you get on the website one more time, please?
KepraBlueLotus.com.
All right.
And that's let me spell it, because I know people are like, how you spell that? But it's KHEPERAS and then BlueLotus.com.
One more time, if you don't mind. One more time.
Oh, not a problem. KHEPERAS BlueLotus.com.
Winning with peace and love, sis, and we appreciate you. Love you back.
Yeah, we do.
All right, same to you. Peace and love.
Peace and love, sis.
She's like multi-talented, though.
Yeah.
Poetry.
Smell
that water she burned. I was like, I'm smelling something good. Wait a minute. I had my eyes closed. Wait a minute. I'm feeling heat. Coming up is a flame of
joy. Yeah, you was right in front of it, too, weren't you?
Flame of joy. Smelling good. She did like a Reiki healing, like 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great with those two forks. I'm telling y'all, she the truth.
No, that's another divination.
That's another divination.
The rods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's another... not trying. What I'm thinking of. It's like pendulums.
Yeah.
You know, like pendulums. Pendulums. Though, that's another one that we probably started out with kind of early. Pendulums are fun because it's basically a yes or no response you're gonna get,
mm-hmm.
and you can program the pendulum to, you know, if you're swinging to the left, that means no. If you're swinging to the right, that means yes. But what I discovered playing with, you know, I went pendulum crazy. I was buying a whole bunch of pendulums because it's so pretty.
$1,000 pendulums.
It was not. But you can create your own spirit board.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you can lay out an alphabet. You can have yes, no, maybe, you know, you can have whatever answer you want. And with that, you use the pendulum and it sways the area that you want. Kind of like a Ouija board, but I like to call them spirit boards.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, since we brought up Ouija boards, play with Ouija boards, people. Because if you don't know what you're doing,
yeah,
you're going to do something. You don't want Ouija boards.
I grew up one in the house and play with them all the time. And like I said, I seen something. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, you brought something into your life.
Yeah, I did. I was scared of my mom. I was like, I can't tell her what I'm going to think. I'm crazy. I'm going to take me away.
But yeah, rods are kind of used the same way as a pendulum. You can use them as a yes or no response. Another good one, tea leaves.
Tea leaves.
A lot of people have heard of tea leaves, but they're not really sure how it works. And basically, you're just having a delicious cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're finished, the leaves that are left behind will form a message for reader to, or the seer to see and deliver to you. That's always an interesting thing. Tea leaves is something that, another art that takes a lot of patience, and you have to really go into like a trance to see what the symbols mean. And, you know, you can, again, learn what they mean through, you know, textbook examples, but I'm a firm believer in developing your own knowing system.
You know, one of my favorites is donut crumbs. You see a donut and the crumbs on your shirt. If you have them in 5, you're still going to be fat next year.
What's wrong with you?
Eat a donut and look at your shirt. If it's 5 or more crumbs, you're going to be fat next year. I got to throw a little humor in there.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, donut crumbs.
Goodness.
I'm just joking. But hey, you never know. You can make your own divination.
You can make your own, you know, Makai brought the Oracle cards. I love Oracle cards as well. There's so many various, you know, different types of Oracle cards and tarot cards, but especially Oracle cards. You have your angel cards, you have your chakra cards, you have your relationship cards, your dream cards. There's so many of them. And you can play around with them in the same sense that you would with tarot, but with the Oracle cards, more of not trying to read the cards, but more of just taking in the message that's being sent to you. And, you know, like she said, having that energetic connection with it.
And you can create your own cards. You can create your own tarot cards. You can create your own oracle cards and make them mean whatever you want them to mean.
You didn't touch dreams.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
No, I forgot about dreams. Dreams are my favorite. So a lot of people get messages in their dreams. I get a lot of messages in my dreams. I see a lot of, I get a lot of premonitions. I see I get a lot of messages in the form of numbers and, you know, things I should do or shouldn't do. When someone's transitioning, before they transition, I'll usually get a message from them letting me know that they're going to transition. So dreams are something else that you can get your messages in. You pretty much want to get to the habit of writing your dreams down, recording them, writing them down, whatever you want to do. And a lot of times when we get the messages in dreams, they're not always clear and they may not come to you right away. It may be something that comes to you, you know, days later. Maybe something that just doesn't click right away, and then you may think back on it, and, you know, so it just makes sense to you. And when you start getting into the habit of writing your dreams down, you'll start learning how to become lucid in your dreams.
Mm.
And when you become lucid in your dreams, that's when you really start to get a lot of messages, and you can take the messages in. You start getting visitations from different beings, ancestors, you know, God, angels, things of that nature. So, yeah.
The thing with dreams people are aware of is that time isn't linear like we've been taught.
Mm-mm.
You don't get born and then you go down as blood and then you're dead.
No.
In our reality, it seems like that, but dreams don't follow that. They've been in this continuum. So dreams can be something that happened in the past or have something that may happen in the future. Maybe something that's happened in a previous life. Or future life that you're not even living right now.
Mm-hmm.
But every life is eerily similar. So whatever you have, one thing that we always carry with us, whether we transition or not, is our subconscious mind. Whenever we die or transition, there's a continuation of consciousness. Our consciousness never ends. Our consciousness has been here before we even came to this reality. So whatever your consciousness is telling you, what was that movie we were seeing? What, the aliens?
I've been seeing so many movies. The Arrival.
The Arrival. Check out The Arrival. That was one of the best movies I've seen that talked about how life is cyclical. It's not like it's linear.
Not only that, she ends up discovering her gift.
Yeah, that was, check out The Arrival. Mm-hmm. It's slow.
It's very slow.
If you didn't have 5 hours of sleep, you're not going to make it. I'm going to just be real.
Slow, but it's worth it. It's good.
Yeah.
When you get to the end, you're like,
oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
And the way they did it, they made you interact with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, what is this? Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin it. So
mm-hmm.
They made you interact with it.
Yeah,
we was talking to each other. Oh my God, he's going to do this. Oh my God. Yeah.
Another good form of divination is automatic writing.
Ooh.
And automatic writing is one that I'm new to. And it's something that I started discovering that, I didn't even realize I could do it or, you know, even thought about doing it, actually. And there's different things you can do with automatic writing. You can ask a question and go into a meditative state, you know, again, into that trance-like state where you just kind of zoned out, where you finally in your mind to just focus and not have much monkey chatter and all that kind of stuff, and just allow yourself to write. And once you come out of that meditative state, you want to see what message comes up for you. Sometimes you might write something. Sometimes it may just be a lot of gibberish. It may even be something that doesn't make sense to you. Again, it's just like with dreams. It may come to you a few days down the line, a few weeks down the line. You'll be like, down gray road, and here I am. I had this accident on this gray road, you know. So it just ends. Another thing you can do, what I like to do is when I'm doing my intuitive readings, I just scribble, I draw, and I don't really look at what I'm doing. I just let my hand, you know, take over as I'm speaking, and it helps me to kind of just tune in and see what I need to see when I'm speaking with someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's another form of writing.
You know, another thing that a divination is, meditation is a form of divination.
It is.
A lot of people don't realize we try too hard to quiet our mind. And you're not going to quiet your mind in the first 15 to 20 minutes of your meditation.
Nah.
Every night before we go to bed, we find a way to innately quiet our mind to drift off to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The same way we do that at night is what you want to do while you're meditating.
Mm-hmm.
You want to almost go to sleep but stay conscious. You want your subconscious mind to take over without you being going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
My wife used to laugh at me because all of a sudden she hear, you're all right, but you're all right,
can't meditate with you.
I'm like, I'm in the ethers, babe. After a while, with practice, you'll be able to fight the sleep and go into that zone.
Mm-hmm.
And breathing and having an aligned spine is great. One thing you can do is lay down on the floor, flat. That's a great way to align your spine. Or sit on the wall. Sit down and have your back up against the wall. That's a great way to assure your spine being aligned. A lot of people sit in the chair and they hunch over and they're breaking off their antenna.
Well, you want to make sure if you are sitting in a chair that you're sitting in a high back chair, so that your back is leaned up against the back of the chair, and that will help keep your spine in line.
Another thing you can do, another trick that I use, is lifting my chest up to the ceiling without, you know what I mean, like really, you know, that's a great tip that I use too.
That's a good one. And another one is I realize myself being like a puppet.
Yeah.
And you know how you have the puppets have that string coming out of their head? So I visualize that string coming out of my head and like, you know, your chin is not all the way down, it's rested so that you're not, you know, because when you tend to trying to look straight or whatever, you end up hunching. But if you keep, like, someone's pulling the string on, you imagine yourself in a puppet, you'll stay straight up.
Yeah, that's a good one, sweetie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, blah, 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 blah. What's another I was going to talk about? I can't remember what it is right now.
Well, I want to give some people some guides on which ones to use.
Okay.
I want you to look up some forms of divination. Maybe not even the ones we've mentioned. Just do a divination search. Look up all different forms of divination. Read up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And pick one that you haven't heard of.
Mm.
Whichever one that comes to you, give it a shot. Try it at least 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Every day for 30 days. In this reality, we need to show the universe and ourselves that we're sure that we want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's with anything. In this reality, nothing you do the few times you're going to get. The only people that do things 2-3 times and they get it are people that may have done it in previous lives before, and they're just getting it. They're like bots. They just get it. But if you really want to learn a good divination, go and step on some higher self. Divine essence is going to lead you to where you need to be. One thing about our spirituality is that you don't always know. You just got to believe and just be comfortable and be reassured that you're taken care of. Okay? So give it a shot. Show yourself that.
So, great advice. Mm-hmm. Great advice. There are different ways that you and practice divination with regular items that you may not even know.
Mm. Consoles?
No.
Oh.
Playing cards?
Yeah, playing cards. And you know what? I'm going to tell you.
Go ahead.
Well, playing cards. How many dudes are there? Four suits?
Mm-hmm.
Four seasons?
Well, I like to use the suits as...
So 12 cards, 12...
I associate it to tarot.
Okay.
So you have your four suits. Just like there's four major arcana suits in the tarot cards. You have your cup, your... And of course, the idea of playing cards came from. It came from tarot cards. But you have your cups, you have your pentacles, you have your swords, and you have your wands.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, they have like the...
In the card.
Yeah, they're holding those different, you know, symbols. And, you know, they're associated with different colors. You know, you have the the queen, and you know, the jack, and you know, and you have the jokers in the deck. So there's a lot of similarity with playing cards and tarot cards, and you can use them that way.
You know, with hearts, diamonds, and clubs, what are spades?
So your hearts is going to be the cups, which is going to, you know, your love and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Diamonds is pentacles, so that's
okay.
money. And clubs is wands.
Okay.
And spades are, oh my goodness, I just said, not wands, but
swords.
Swords, yeah.
Spades.
So,
swords.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you as a recut with spades?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, well, I'm learning. I'm learning on the air.
You can also use dominoes.
We love bones.
Yeah.
That's why we call them bones.
And when you think about, you know, when you're playing dominoes, you throw out the bones, you shake them up,
the dishes,
you wash
yeah.
the dishes, you flip them over, and it's a number association. So with dominoes, also dice, same thing. Dice the same way. The number association means different things. The number one may mean new beginnings, and you know. And when you have dominoes or dice, you have those individual items. You flip them over, and you can tell by the number that came out what your fortune is.
Mm.
You can combine them together and add that up, or keep it separate, or whatever you want to do. It's up to you. So yeah, those are fun ways. But then, you know, I just want to cover a couple of the ones that people don't really know about. Some of them I didn't even really know about.
Let's go down a list of some of them, sweetie.
All right. So there's libanomancy. Libanomancy? I don't know. But anyway, this is the divination with incense smoke.
I heard of that before where he would take sage and I would burn a bundle of sage and try to see visions within the sage smoke.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't know if you remember, but when I started my spiritual cleanse and I burnt the sacred blessed incense that were given to me.
I remember that.
And I was seeing faces within the smoke, and I was just like, whoa. So there's also cockomancy.
Ooh,
you know what that is?
Cockomancy?
Yeah.
It's a stroke or something?
No. It's bones, but you're using nails.
Okay.
You know, like conch shells.
Yeah, conch shells. Oh, conch mace. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. My mom brought a conch shell from Bahamas years ago. She's like, when they took conch out, it was stinking. For those who don't know. Eat conch over there, too. It's a delicacy.
Then you have ceromancy. And this is the art of reading melted wax candle.
Yeah, heard of that.
I don't know if we know of, but we never really know the names of them, or you know, hear the name, you're like, what's that? And that's what it is. So with that, you have a lit candle, and you dip it into a bowl of water. When the wax forms, you can tell by the symbols that they make, you know, whatever the vision is. Then you have apnomancy, which is, you know, smoke scrying. That's like the candle smoke. So you have your candle smoke, you have your incense smoke, and that's candle smoke.
Okay, I like that.
You have elephantomancy, which is a form of divination in which you have a chance meeting with an animal. And depending on what happens with the animal, it's interpreted in your fortune.
Wow.
I know, right?
I used to always eat on lunch with Blue Jay. He would wait until I come outside, and he would sit with me and eat lunch with me. He wouldn't eat. He just...
You might need to look and see what he means.
I told me to quit that job. And I did.
I know you've been here 18 years. Quit. Blow, Chris. There's aromancy. Aromancy is a form of divination that is observed through different weather. So such as lightning, thunder, and winds, and rain.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I thought that was pretty dope.
That is dope. I think this was a
dope show. This was a dope show.
Yeah, very
dope. Yeah, see, you know, it's good to learn new things.
Facts.
So, yeah, fam, we gave out a lot of different divination arts. So, Chris gave some advice on how to find which one is good for you. Just look them up, practice with them. If it, you know, sits well with you, do it. If not, move on, find something else. The main thing that I want to tell you, though, is don't be afraid of it. If you go into something with fear, you're inviting fear into your life. So go into it with intentions, go into it knowing that you're protected, state that you're protected, visualize yourself being protected.
You have more power in this earth the domain of the show. You have all the power. This is your domain.
Right.
Things may look in and peek at you. You can say, be gone, man. And it must be gone. You gotta meet it. Don't be like, be gone. You can't do that.
How come you don't act this in your YouTube videos?
Because they see.
Alright, Sam. So, as you may or may not know, Chris and I both do readings as well. We do numerology readings, tarot readings, oracle readings, intuitive readings, you know, whatever. We do it all because that's what we do. That's our specialty. So if you would like to contact us for a reading, you can always send me an email at iamdivinequeen@gmail.com and just let me know what it is that you want to have done, and we can go from there and discuss everything. You want to share your information?
Sure. If you want to reach me, reach me at thechrisenlighten@gmail.com. Check me out on YouTube.com, and my page is The Enlightened Journey. Subscribe today and get all the spiritual vittles that I'll be divulging.
Yeah, there's a lot of great information on that page.
And support our books to Amazon.com. I have the book called The Enlightened Talk, that's THOTH, Property Consciousness, which is the Amazon bestseller book, and Wealth Consciousness. That book will show you all the ways to get wealth in your life. Not just money, love, all facets of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Winning.
And I have a book out there. It's a collection of spiritual short stories called I Am by Divine Queens, and you want to check that out as well. And we will be back next Monday, 9 o'clock Eastern time. We're going to be going in on...
I have no idea.
We talked about this.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh,
we're doing a movie show.
Oh, we're the movie. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And we're going in on scary movies. We're going to talk about the spiritual jewels that are hitting in scary movies.
Spiritual jewels and
scary
movies.
That's
yeah.
A lot of spiritual jewels and scary movies.
Trying
people
to
don't
scare
know
you
it.
Out from watching them and missing the Jews.
And a lot of stuff is misconstrued, too.
And misconstrued. It's construed and misconstrued.
So, we are going to have a great show for you next Monday in time for Halloween. So, we will be back next Monday. Check out our Twin Flame page on Facebook. And if you have any requests or questions, you can always send us an email at either our email addresses or at twinflame@gmail.com.
Fact.
And other than that, we're done, right?
That's it, fam.